welcome to the Tech CEO Essentials Podcast. We're focused on the top areas that tech CEOs need to know. I'm your host, Tom Cooper, and this podcast is sponsored by my company, Bright Hill Group, where we believe that because people matter, we must lead them well. Today's topic is project management. What are the essentials that a tech CEO needs to know to use project management to really grow profits? Today I have the privilege of interviewing Jonathan Powell. Jonathan W. Powell, certified government financial manager and project management professional, is a senior program manager with CACI. A former submarine officer, Mr. Powell has led complex technical engagements for military, federal, and intelligence agencies. His articles have been published in PM Network, Crosstalk, and Contract Management, respectively. Mr. Powell serves on the board of Montgomery County Revenue Authority, where he is a member of its finance committee. He holds a BS from the USNA and an MBA from the University of Maryland. Jonathan, welcome.
Thank you, Tom. Good to be here.
Well, let's jump right in. If I'm a CEO running a tech firm, why do I care about project management?
Well, Tom, you care about project management because what's unbeknownst to a lot of folks, not just tech CEOs, is project management is kind of viewed as this administrative function. And in fact, a lot of folks can tend to be pejorative and say, well, at the end of the day, we really don't even need a project manager. But project management actually is the key to good, solid customer relationships. And good, solid customer relationships are the engine for increasing revenues and increasing profits.
So how does that tie? I mean, where's the connection there between, I mean, because I think you're right, there's a concept that project management is just turning the crank and we just have to do this stuff for our clients. Can't we just do that?
Yeah, and I love to talk about this because project management is very hard. And in fact, John Chambers, CEO of Suns, made a deliberate decision, or it may have been McNeely, but one of those two bigwigs made a deliberate decision not to get into project management because it is so hard and, in their words, so messy. But the reason why, Tom, project management drives increased revenues and drives increased profits is because good project management, and mind you, I'm talking about project management, not just commodities, okay? We're not just turning a crank, putting commodities out the door. I'm talking about anything that's even medium to highly complex as far as value-added services go. If that's your business, you, not only do you need an effective project management in there to successfully deliver on your commitments, but it's that successful project manager that's going to deliver on those commitments and build those great relationships with the customers and is going to drive increased revenues and profits. Because at the end of the day, Tom, what you get in Business School 101 is one of the first things you learn in marketing is that it's costs 5 to 10 times more to actually go out and get a new customer versus maintaining your current client happy and maintaining that current revenue and profit stream. Well, I submit that effective project management is crucial if you're in the IT services business to maintaining that current client.
So let's put some skin on this. I mean, if you're doing project management ineffectively, what does your customer experience look like?
Your customer experience, well, first and foremost, your customer is heading for the door, because if you're doing it ineffectively, you're not going to meet your commitments. And again, mind you, I'm talking about anything even medium to highly complex. So commodities, sure, you can get away with perhaps not even having a project manager and as you indicated before, simply turning the crank. But if we're talking about something even moderately to highly complex, you need an effective project manager in there, and the way you'll determine if the project manager is effective is first and foremost if that project manager is able to maintain that customer. And the way that project manager is able to maintain that customer is first and foremost by meeting the commitments. And we'll get into this, I'm sure. The underlying premise to effective project management is not simply the processes, as you indicated before, because one thing I would discuss with a tech CEO is I would expect him or her to come to me and say, well, we can just take anyone and add to that person, this toolkit of processes, and we would expect the output to be good all the time, or we would expect that we would be able to meet commitments, customer commitments all the time. And what I want to talk about at least is some of the art as well as the science. Certainly there's a quantitative aspect, there's a process aspect, and that's a piece of it, but where a lot of folks miss, including tech CEOs miss, is that art piece, and it's that art piece coupled with that quantitative and that process piece that will ensure that the project manager is effective, the project manager is maintaining a good client relationship first and foremost by delivering on what they're committed to deliver on.
Well, that's an interesting point that you bring up. I've just been going through David Horsager's book, The Trust Edge, where he argues that trust is foundational to success in any endeavor, and specifically in business. And there are keys to being able to build trust. And I think you just touched on one of the fundamental pieces that he touches on, which is keeping your commitments. And so how is it that project managers are able to define what the commitment ought to be? And then how are they able to follow through and keep those commitments?
Well, first and foremost, our job as a project manager is as a consultant, and in fact, I just recently encountered this with my team, where the customer came at us with a very arduous demand and seemingly an impossible task to achieve. And there was bucking, and the folks were getting antsy, and their immediate response was to go tell the customer no. And I said, well, let's wait a second, guys. Our role is to first take a step back, and we need to act in a consultative manner. And so first and foremost is getting that consultative mindset in place, and working hard. Utilizing your standard methodologies and/or your processes that your particular company may have, but working hard to bring information to bear. Our number one task as project managers is to work with the team within existing methodologies and processes, and oftentimes, mind you, Tom, outside of existing methodologies and processes, because that's where a good project manager often earns their money, because one thing you cannot do is script every particular scenario. You cannot script every particular hard problem that comes to you. And so that's why it's so important that a project manager work collaboratively with their team, with their stakeholders, and bring information to bear. So boil everything down and come up with information so that the decision makers can be apprised of what it is that, what are their options, A, what are their options, and B, what are the risks associated with those options. We're actually encountering quite a challenging scenario now, where we're being asked to not only move a data center, we're being asked to come up with develop some very substantial capabilities in the software, and all of this is happening concurrently, or the customer at least would like all of this to happen concurrently. Again, this is just the latest example, but a lot of the team's initial reaction is to just say no. An effective project manager will has to work around that, has to be sensitive to the team's concerns, acknowledge those concerns, but at the same time work collaboratively with the team to boil and synthesize the facts, the assumptions, and utilizing the processes and the methodologies to bring information to bear and to provide that information package to the customer. So what I mean by that, Tom, is sure, we could go and one approach would be to go and say no to the customer, and obviously that's a non-starter. That would upset the customer, jeopardize the customer relationship, and really put things on eggshells. Another approach is you go to the customer and you say, Mr. Customer or Mrs. Customer, we've looked at this. Here are your options, A, B, and C. Here are the risks associated with those options. And oh, by the way, we thought very hard about this, and we've built into the schedule these exit ramps so that if you decide, Mr. Customer or Mrs. Customer, to go with this risky option A, we thought hard enough about this such that we can at least test the waters, and we can do a prototype, and we can have an off-ramp so that we're still being prudent about how we approach this, and ultimately, Mr. or Mrs. Customer, it's you're paying our bills, and it's your decision on how much risk you want to accept. But we're going to help you be prudent about that. We're going to give you as much information as possible so that you can make the best decision possible. And so I know you asked a couple of questions in there, Tom, and I'm not sure if I hit on both of them, but that's what comes to mind when you mention both of those.
Well, you know, what's interesting to me is the things you've brought up a couple of times already in our discussion. One is that you've talked about creativity, that you're project management role is going to require you to bring some creativity to the equation, where it comes to customer wants something, or there's a need to move to market with a feature or a capability in a time frame that doesn't seem doable, and you talked about trying to dig in with the client to understand more about what they're trying to accomplish, and then the other thing I heard you say is trying to turn and address it with the team who needs to fulfill that work, who may initially approach it and say, that's not what we're able to do, or we're not, that's a non-starter, we need to just say no. So it sounds like creativity is a component of successful project management.
That's absolutely right, Tom, and that gets to the art part of what I mentioned before. A lot of folks, especially nowadays, as you know, you deal with a lot of CEOs. Everything is, there's so much of an emphasis on the quantitative. And we can just process this thing out, and the human beings are just the cogs in the wheel. You could interchange Joe or Molly or whoever person into a role. You wrap around these processes around that person, and you're going to have an automatic success. And that certainly process is important, certainly the quantitative is important, but I'm a strong believer today that human elements, to your point, that creativity, that collaboration, a lot of that is being lost, and that is that art part of it. Being sensitive to your customer, being sensitive to your teammates, and working with your stakeholders to come up with the best solution. Creativity only, and in my view, your best form of creativity stems from effective collaboration. So all parties having a voice, and it's only when everyone has heard everyone else talk and offer up a suggestion that you really get to that gem, that real innovation. And it's one of those things that's hard to articulate in a textbook and doesn't fit nice and neatly in a process or a quantitative mechanism, but I'm a huge believer in that as being a key to successful project management.
Yeah, the other thing that I have heard you talk about today is, you mentioned bringing information to bear, and I think it really speaks to the question of the ability to communicate effectively with others. And I think that's one of the things that you talk about from a human element perspective. Not everybody's got that skill.
Yeah, no, I would agree, Tom. And it, as you know, it's communication to be really skilled at communication. You're tailoring your message, your tone, your tenor, the content for your audience. So when I'm with my engineers, it's a completely different dynamic versus when I'm with my customer who's paying the bills versus when I'm having discussions with my upline management. You're absolutely correct. And central to that is being aware of your audience and what are your audience's information needs.
So that kind of speaks to your point about not being able to leverage just anyone in the organization to be able to do that job effectively.
Yeah, absolutely. And to me, that's one of the, if I had the opportunity to sit down with the CEO, that's one of the things I would not hammer on, but I would emphasize as strongly as possible. It's a people business. It's not simply, as you said before, putting someone in there and turning the crank. It's a hard business, especially when you're dealing with moderately to highly complex services. IT in general oftentimes can be very complex. You're dealing with extremely smart folks, engineers and systems folks and technologists. So in the midst of all of that, what gets lost is that people aspect, what you mentioned before, someone with integrity. Oftentimes these basic blocking and tackling items get overlooked, but someone with integrity, someone like you said before, with trust. Those are prerequisites. And yes, can the person communicate? Is the person collaborative? Because one of the things I jotted down here in preparing for this discussion is an effective project manager is really a glue person. Even if you textbook out something and you have all these wonderful processes, you always have boundaries between processes, and you even have boundaries between people. You have boundaries between your database team and your Java team. You have boundaries between your requirements team, and the project manager will do as much as possible to help bring down those boundaries and encourage the interchange of information and the connection between these various processes. But invariably, there are still these interfaces, and stuff will slip through these boundaries. So at the very top, you need someone who's a glue person, a connector, who's going to, as PM, as the overall responsible person, who's going to act as someone who's going to connect those things that might slip through the cracks, because, you can't textbook everything out. There's going to be things that don't fit nicely into a process and in a gray area, and you need that project manager to act as a glue. Similarly, you want to build that culture into the project or the program team. You want the team leads and the supervisors to emulate that kind of behavior. So you want men and women who are going to say, this output came from this particular team. It may not necessarily go to my team, but yes, I have an opportunity here to not let this slip through the cracks. Let me pick up this output. Let me do what I need to do with it and get it on to the other team members. So you want to build that project and program culture as well, but it all starts at the top.
Well, so that's interesting. I mean, it almost sounds like it's too big a job. It's too hard to do, that the role is too important, because you've got aspects of managing people and managing tasks and managing communications and looking at priorities and making tough decisions. There's a whole bunch of different factors there. So if I'm in an organization and I've not actually given a lot of thought to building that culture, where do I get started to try and think more critically about that and how we're going to pursue that?
Well, where you get started is my view is, sure, you could get started looking at textbooks, and there's a lot of great tomes out there on project and program management. But my suggestion is you go and find the people who've been there and done that, and who are these project management experts who, like you said, there are, it is a very big role, and it's a very big task, and there's so much that falls under a project management umbrella, and only a few select individuals are good at doing this role, and those folks, their reputations kind of precede them. In fact, the gentleman I work with at IBM, he just retired, and he sent out his note, you know, to everyone, hey, I'm retiring, and you know, and he was saying, hey, I'm thanking everyone, but I was thinking, and I actually had an opportunity to talk with him, I was like, well, Don, I hope, my only hope is, you know, first and foremost, best of luck to you, but my only hope is that IBM has taken the opportunity to do some kind of master class with you before they let all of that intellectual capital, all of that project mastery, all of that stuff that you won't find in a textbook, but it is a real world of how to be successful at project management, how to be effective at project management. I sincerely hope they would do some sort of master class and have folks come and learn at the at your foot, Don, because they're letting an institution walk out the door. And so as far as where you start, you can find those individuals like Don and like others. And of course, obviously you would have your standard resources. The Project Management Institute has a whole lot of intellectual capital, so on and so forth. But I would very strongly advise that they couple the textbook and those types of resources with seeking some sort of master class from someone like a Don at IBM.
So because there's more to it than is easily documented, right? That you can't just pull it from, here's four steps to success.
Yeah, that's right. And being a former naval officer, we had what was called lessons learned or sea stories. And everyone knows you can't build a textbook that will document every single situation and every single particular. And it's only through experience that you encounter these new and varying situations and you learn from those. And in the Navy, you had a methodology where you had a sea story, a lesson learned, you did a debrief, and those lessons learned were formally transmitted to succeeding generations, and that's how you learned, and that's why the nuclear Navy is the safest nuclear force in the world to this day, decades on since Rickover, and it's all based on that culture of sea stories and lessons learned, and it's the same thing in project management, because you can never have a textbook that covers every particular scenario. You need to get those master classes, if you will, get the benefit of that knowledge and that experience, and that will stand a person in good stead to be able to respond appropriately when they're in their real world situation and the new situation comes up and they have to respond and react to it.
So it sounds like really one simple thing that a company could begin to do would be to formally collect some of those stories that happen at the end of an engagement or the end of a project phase.
Yes, and that's something that good project management companies will do. IBM does it. CACI does it, where they'll capture those, do a formal end of engagement analysis, and capture those lessons learned and intellectual capital repository.
Yeah, it sounds like too, having the opportunity, if you're in a project management role, to collaborate with other PMs and kind of hear some of their sea stories, if you will, could be very productive as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. And successful companies and organizations do that. Like I said, dating back to my Navy days, that was something that was done here at CACI. There are brown bag exchanges where PMs can share their lessons learned. And to me, that's again, it's a people business. So it's important to have those great processes, but the real learning comes from folks who've been in the trenches and who can share with you. And that's really where you learn and you build a solid cadre of project management professionals.
So your stories, though, you talk about, you know, the project management person being a people person and a glue person that's pulling things together, but it sounds like the stories become a bit of a force multiplier in terms of not wasting resources.
Yes, absolutely, and. It's so important because you have your glue person at the top, and you mentioned before that this role is too big, and it's so much with it, the financials, deliverables, and what have you. And you're right. The project manager can't do it by himself or herself. So the project manager, while that role is so important, you get the right person in there, but then you have to build that culture. And once you have that right project manager in there, the leadership within that project and that program should be emulating the behaviors of that project manager. And then you have a culture where you have a culture of glue people and this ecosystem of glue people, and that's when you really become a well-performing team. And to your point, you're extremely efficient. You're communicating and you're collaborating, and it's really a thing of beauty once you get there, and you're just as well-honed machine that's cranking out the deliverables, meeting customer expectations, maximizing revenue and profits for the company, and it's just this whole virtual cycle.
Well, that's great. I appreciate you you digging into that with us. It's interesting to kind of look at that from different perspectives. I think a lot of times we miss how much of an art it is to do some of these activities, and so I think it's helpful to kind of get some perspective and look at some of the real problems that you face where customer expectations are not in alignment with reality, and so what does the project manager do? Or the team is about to revolt, and what do you do to try and manage that as well?
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. I'm glad I had an opportunity to share.
Yeah, so thanks for being with us today. I can't believe how quickly time flies as we go through these. For our listeners, join us next time as we dig in for more Tech CEO Essentials. We've got other exciting topics coming up dealing with more on communications, accounting, legal, and more. It's going to be great. For Bright Hill Group, this is Tom Cooper signing off.